Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, which is presented to you by Power Planter Earth Augers, the official digging tool. To find the right size for your digging project, visit powerplanter.com. Now here are your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Welcome back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Do you save seeds, or do you each spring get the urge and the itch to plant a garden, and then you go to the garden center, or you go to Seed Savers Exchange, and you purchase all your seeds fresh each year? Well, you don't have to do that. I mean, there is some seeds that are recommended, and we will go over those, in which it's best to buy fresh each year. However, by saving your own seeds in your own environment, in your own backyard, can make a tremendous difference on your wallet, and the quality in which the plants that you have and are planting and growing can have production-wise.
Right. So, yeah. So basically, a big bonus to saving seeds is it saves money. And not only can it save you money, but say you have a friend who's like, I'm just getting into gardening. Do you have any extra seeds? And I know that you and I always seem to have extra seeds.
Right.
Mostly at the time, yeah.
Well, you look at an onion or leek, which is a biennial, takes 2 years in order for the seeds to produce. You're looking at a couple of hundred, if not, 800-900 seeds on a couple of plants. Leaf lettuce. You can get several hundred, if not thousand, of seeds off two plants. That's more lettuce than you and I and the army of whomever could eat. Tomatoes, a beefsteak tomato can produce, 50, 60 seeds, give or take. Mm-hmm. So there's the plants want to produce and provide you seeds. Now there are, and like I said, there are some plants in which it's not really good in order to save seeds. And two of them that are really should be noted are, one, cucumbers. They are very easily cross-pollinated. So if you've got a all-white cucumber and you've got a Boston pickling cucumber in the same vicinity, those will most likely cross, and then you're going to have a more. If you're going to have a cucumber of some form, however, it may not be a pickling or it may not be a white, so you need to decide what what's best to do on that aspect.
But on the flip side of that, you could save the seeds and see what happens.
Right.
And if you, maybe this is something that's fun for you, maybe it's something that's fun for you and your kids or grandkids, whatever, but it's you can still save the seeds and they still will grow.
Well, true. Now, if you're using that cucumber to pickle, then you'd want a pickling cucumber, because cucumbers that are not pickling or designed to be pickle turn into mush. They're not good,
right.
Not good pickles.
Right.
Another thing would be sweet corn. Heirloom sweet corn. If you are in the vicinity of a agricultural genetically modified field or adjacent to other types of hybrid or heirloom varieties, they will cross very easily. Mm-hmm. So you want to be aware of that. Now, if it's not a big deal to you, then so be it. But that's something that needs to be noted. And tomatoes are very low chance of cross-pollinating. But if they are cross-pollinated, you do get very unique varieties in that type of atmosphere with the crossing of the tomatoes, but very, very slim chance of that happening. Now let's talk about acclimation of your ecosystem, Holly.
Right. So what happens is that year after year, when you grow the same seed variety, whatever seeds.
Let's just take bush beans, royalty purple bush beans.
Okay.
Let's go that.
So say that you have some royalty purple bush beans. And you plant them this year, and then you save some of the seeds from the bush beans, and you plant them next year in your garden. That seed, that variety, whatever that is, has been acclimated to your ecosystem. And then as you continue to save seeds over and over and over again from those plants, they become even more acclimated. And that basically what that means is that, say you live in a climate that is, you can grow beans in many zones. But say you live in a climate where you might have higher humidity at night, more rain during the day, and now your beans have become used to that as opposed to a broad range of area.
Now, to save, I guess when we talk about saving seeds, people often ask, what is the easiest seed to save? Well, I would say
probably beans.
Beans. You just let them go.
Right.
You plant them and let them dry on the pod. We're talking like green beans or yellow pod green beans, like the term green, but yellow edible pod beans or royalty edible pod mm-hmm. beans. Let them grow. Let them dry on the vine, and then you harvest them. Watermelon. Spit the seeds in a cup. Pumpkin.
That is if you have a seeded water.
Right, right. Peppers are very easy. Now, tomatoes, everybody loves to grow tomatoes because I do know a couple of people who do not like tomatoes.
You're still friends with them.
So tomatoes is a different type of seed saving procedure, correct?
Yes, correct. So what you're going to do is for the tomatoes seeds, as we all know, they have that gelatinous, I don't know, slime, yep. coating, whatever. And what you're going to do is you're going to take a jar or you can just take like a glass or whatever, put those seeds in there and then take some water and just kind of, I don't know, maybe like an inch of water. It doesn't have to be very deep. Let them sit in that inch of water for a couple of days and it's going to ferment. You'll be able to smell. You walk past, you can smell that it smells a little fermented. Once it's fermented, then you take a sieve.
Well, you want to cover it with something with a.
Oh yeah, you probably want to cover it with like a coffee filter and a rubber band or
not
something.
Not something that can breathe, not a plastic or a lid or anything like that. You want to,
Yeah. So something that can breathe. So like a coffee filter or a paper towel.
Yep.
Whatever you got. I know not everybody has coffee filters these days.
What's that?
Right. So then you are going to take the seeds once they've fermented a little bit, take a fine mesh sieve or strainer or piece of screen, whatever, and you want to rinse them, but you don't want to make sure you something that the seeds aren't going to fall through. Once they're rinsed, you can put them on a ceramic plate or bowl or whatever, and they're going to dry out a bit, and then you can flake them off and put them in an envelope.
Now, nobody can see this, but I'm holding a very important tool in this whole seed saving procedure. And that is a writing utensil.
Right.
Because if you start saving more than one type of tomato seed, and even one type, you may forget what type that was. So then you've got 6 or 7 ceramic plates sitting around with tomato seeds that are drying, and we've told this story before, then you have 25 years of mystery tomato seeds if you do save them. Otherwise, you may pitch them and start over next year.
Right. You know, you have them sitting there on a table or something. And you're like, oh, I know. I'm going to remember the upper left is, Cherokee purple. And then in 3 days when they're dry, you're going to be like, was that upper left or upper right? And
I forget what I'm watching on TV when it goes to commercial.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What was I? Oh, yeah, I was watching. Okay, it's back on now.
Well, that might be a different issue.
Oh, is that what that is? Okay. Yeah. So we want to save those. That's how we save some seeds. Now, here's the other caveat to this: hybrid, organic, and heirloom variety of seeds. We talk about this early in the spring about planting these type of seeds. But this is very important to have that conversation now when we are attempting to save and carry over the traits and the specific varieties of plants in which we want to save. So what are or what is a hybrid versus an organic versus a heirloom?
So a hybrid, let's start with an heirloom.
Okay.
An heirloom variety is something that is basically been around for a long time. So it's like the original seed, it's the original cultivar, and it's
for whatever reason it doesn't alter itself.
No, it doesn't alter itself. It's the original seed. So that seed could have been here for a bajillion years since the dinosaurs or whatever. So
probably got too acidic and that's what killed them off because they didn't like the acidity of the tomato.
Maybe. Oh. Yeah. They were like, bleh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the dinosaurs. Yeah, so there's the heirloom variety. Just like in a family heirloom, but it's been passed down for year to year to year. It's kind of like that, but with seeds, it's the original whatever. So then we have organic, and organic means that it was grown. They're typically heirloom. They can be any kind of variety, but not a hybrid. And they're grown in organic practices. So that means that the soil is organic. The growing conditions are organic. It's certified organic. The USDA typically is the company that certifies.
It's not a company. It's an
organization.
Branch of government, I guess, is what would be the technical.
Okay, branch of government has certified that these seeds are grown organically, organic seeds in organic conditions.
Right.
Then we have hybrid, and hybrid is not GMO.
It's not a bad word.
No, it's not a bad word. And actually, hybrids are really enjoyable to grow if you are not an experienced grower. You don't want challenges of organic or heirloom. So hybrids are happy seeds to grow, but you cannot save them. So hybrids, you can save them.
Yeah.
But, okay, well, we'll get to that.
Yeah, okay.
So
let's confuse everybody as much as possible here.
Right.
Yeah.
So hybrids are basically seeds that were a botanist or an agriculturist or what have you, basically like a environmental related scientist, will grow these seeds and they'll grow with favorable conditions. So let's say you have a tomato that is drought tolerant and early producing, and you allow these seeds to cross pollinate and grow together to create this one seed. So like for a very popular one, well known, is Early Girl tomatoes. And that is a hybrid as opposed to, like, I think I said Cherokee,
yeah,
purple, whatever. So yeah, so that's what a hybrid is. Now, hybrid seeds you can save, but it's going to take cycles. I think it's 7 cycles of growing until it gets back to
it's still going to grow what it wants,
right,
what you saved. It's not going to turn into a cucumber or a pepper if you saved a tomato hybrid seed.
Right. But it's going to revert back to, or maybe a combination of whatever its mother or father is, basically.
Right.
So I don't know how they cross Early Girl, but say they cross Early Girl with a kitty cat tomato and a puppy dog tomato, and that's how you get Early Girl. So when you save the seed and you grow it next year.
It's not how. We're just using it as an example. So.
Yeah.
Write your letters to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Address it to Hello Holly. I would like to have some of your kitty cat tomato plants, please.
Yeah. So those are not real, that I know of. But anyway, so once you save that Early Girl and you grow it next year, it's probably going to have favorable traits of either the kitty cat tomato or the puppy dog tomato, but it won't be a true Early Girl. And then it will take 7 growing generations
approximately
to get it back to the Early Girl. And that's just how hybrid seed works.
So yeah, that's one of the things you need to be aware of when it comes to saving seeds, knowing what you've got so you can predict what you will have. And again, label some more.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.